Bye-bye.
Love, that is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch the greatest.
Soccer, and the fifth.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Now I'm walking around being cool singing this. This shit is crazy, fucking each other's mouth. Be my honor to be your new stepfather. It would be my honor.
You're not fucking right, man.
Good timing. Good
day.
Timing.
See?
Can't wear these.
No, don't wear headphones.
No, I just need to make sure that we're... This is much easier, you talking into your mic.
See, I'm
and
used
I've realized
to this.
As well, if we ever do a three-person podcast again, you can't sit in the middle because it was like watching a tennis match. Like, that was the problem. It was my fault.
There was a lot of big information.
I need to be better at facilitating you.
I was trying to put you in the middle because you were the host.
Thank you.
But you were trying to do that thing where it's like, nah, it's not all about me, bro.
Yeah, but I got a bad neck.
Sit in the middle. And then I'm like... Like this.
I got a bad neck and Dean's head doesn't move independently of his shoulders.
No.
So I thought you were the likely candidate for the middle.
Yeah,
but now with
good.
Your
work.
Now with you, even with the Elvis mic, you...
To be fair, I was more enamored by the mic rather than speaking into it. But the thing is, because Dean's got so much technical information, mine's just cod shit about once this guy smacked this guy in another place. Do you know what I mean?
But whereas that's also important information.
It is kind of important.
I mean, the people want to see that.
Yeah, I like you to know? Think so. But yeah,
hi, everybody, by the way. We have got a video rolling as well.
I can't see anything.
I know now some people are just listening to the audio of this, and I do feel like I did exclude them on the last podcast.
Did you?
I kind of listened to it back and realised that we were talking specifically to people that were watching us.
I was just surprised myself about what we've discussed, because I'll always forget. Because we've been down to the gym this morning. I've got the website, the till system, the gym.
Yeah. The gym's almost
so much stuff, and then we switch it into full reptile,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I've got my car problems.
Yeah.
So
solved though. Car's
yeah,
all good.
Solved. Looking
mechanics
good.
Being mechanics,
yeah.
As they do.
Fingers crossed, we're good.
So today we're going to talk about UFC Prague, which was my whole week last week.
How was that?
It was wicked. It was awesome. I don't know what it is about fight week. It's just like a sprint from start to finish.
It's
from
nuts.
The point I leave for the airport. To the point I arrive back at my car at the airport, it's just the whole thing's a blur. I managed to get to sit down one time with my friend Pavel
and
have a good meal. That was nice on the Sunday afternoon after
I was pleased to know. I almost felt like your mum when you said you've linked up with Pavel. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right with Pavel.
Pavel runs Europe. He's the mayor of Europe. The unofficial mayor of Europe.
Does not fuck around.
So, yeah.
But it's weird because obviously whenever it's a fight week, we sort of cram everything we do into two days or something. So I sort of wave you off like a kid for your first day at school.
With your handkerchief, your white handkerchief.
Yeah, just
like I'm leaving on the Titanic.
Kind of sad because I'm like, that motherfucker's going to go and live the...
He might never come back.
Well, yeah, he may never come back. So off he goes. But it was like, I'll see things crop up, like the Till Masvidal thing. Fucking brilliant.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
It's doing well. It's been trending on YouTube. I was watching the other day.
Were you geeking out a little
bit? Yeah, because it was jumping up. I mean, they posted it and within a few hours, it was at 100,000 views. And then it was in the YouTube chart, like the trending chart. It was like number 18 or 19.
That's good.
And then Inside the Octagon went up for Jones Smith.
Okay.
Which is obviously we're going to be talking about later. And that's up in the like in the 20s of the YouTube chart as well. So
I don't think they could have picked...
MMA taking over.
We're taking over the world. I don't think they could have picked two better fighters than like Till and Masvidal. Because it's the thing is, there's no bullshit. It's literally, it's grinning through that teeth as if to say... I know you think you're going to beat me, but I know I'm going to beat you. And they believe it as much as each other. But the thing is, not many people, or a lot of people know who Masvidal is. Obviously, like Till's had that bigger explosion recently. But I mean, I go back to, I always remember Paulie fought Masvidal, and that was a fight.
Yeah.
And then when you start going back and digging into his like Kimbo Slice style fights in the parking lots and stuff, like once you know who he is, it's awesome. But then if you are just finding him now...
Mm-hmm.
That builds that fight to something even bigger.
I thought they both came across really well. I was actually having a couple of discussions yesterday of what other two fighters would be good. I actually put it out on Twitter and got like 140 replies.
What were the best?
A lot of people would like to see McGregor and Cowboy, obviously.
That'd be good.
DC Jones, although we'd need
Fucking hell.
Security Steve. You'd need
a long
there.
Table.
Yeah, I'm bringing in the European security team to look after
Big
it.
Big Steve.
There. Yeah, Big Steve and Tiny, who's like 6'8".
I don't know if I met Tiny. I met Big Steve.
Yeah, he's a new addition to the team, and he just doubly secures the whole place. Those guys have got stories. They'll never write a book, but yeah. It's like listening to the storyline of a Guy Ritchie movie.
We need to keep plugging Guy Ritchie because there's got to be a point where, I mean, Beckham got.
He's going to call me up at some point.
For real, I want
to
be in.
Just a walk on.
Doesn't matter.
Walk on. You know, Guy
Snatch,
Ritchie. Here I am.
Snatch again.
Or Tarantino. I'm not fussy. You know.
Yeah, I can do both.
So UFC Prague. Then should we start there?
Yeah, I want to ask you a quick question because you mentioned a lot of people have been sending you stuff, and you're going to answer that. It reminded me of a question I wanted to ask you when you did the broadcast. You said, I've had 5 broken noses, 2 of them in fights.
Yep.
Where are the other 3? Or what are the legal stories you can tell us about maybe one of them times?
Oh, I can tell you about a couple of them. I can tell you about one of them was Mick, who built this amazing rig that was sitting under in the reptile house.
Raptor rigs.
The first of the Raptor rigs, which is coming soon.
Yeah, on its way, very soon.
Yeah. We used to do a lot of sparring before class, and I think I would have been 16 maybe, because I got my nose pierced.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't like the fact that I got my nose pierced. And I was wearing a ring, and it was really sensitive, and it just wasn't healing properly. I already had my tongue pierced, and I had a couple of piercings in my ear.
A few cuffs.
Yeah, and I could take them out for training. I left the tongue piercing in, obviously, but the nose piercing I had to leave in. And we were doing, sparring with bow staffs. Which is a 6-foot wooden pole.
Well, Donatello had one in the tails.
Exactly. Okay. Like these are like, but we had the Japanese one, the bow staff, which is heavyweight. And we're sparring, we're going back and forth, and then Mick slid the whole thing down. So he's got the butt of the bow staff there, whole 6 foot behind him, and swung it like overhand. And it came over the top.
That's a kill shot.
Yeah. Came over the top, hit me on the nose. And it's chipped that side of my nose there. I've got a chip there from where it hit me.
Wow.
But as it came down, it just pulled my nose ring out. Just ping. And I hit the deck. I'm like, my nose is
bleeding. It didn't
go
back in, did it?
My eyes swelled up. No, I didn't put it back in after that. No. He'd proved his point.
Quite dramatically, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like my nose ring? No, just stand there.
Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah. Jeez. And then the other one, I can only give a few details for legal reasons for this one.
Is Paul Daly involved?
No. Okay. I was walking through college and I was headbutted by someone that decided I should have been headbutted.
I
was 17, he was
times.
Like 25 or 26.
Yeah. I've broken a few people's noses with my head.
Yeah.
Receiving.
Mm.
They weren't good at headbutting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then the other time I was on the dance floor at Rock City. I was trying to break up a fight and this guy was between a guy and a girl. I was trying to break up a fight.
Can't.
An old female friend of mine who was a bit nuts. She was a bit like a banshee. She'd wail and scream and scratch. She was wild, but this guy was clearly not a regular in the club. And that was the kind of club where you got regulars every week.
Yes.
Everybody knew each other. So if you saw a new face, you're like, let's keep an eye on that one. And everybody's like looking around the club like, no, let's keep an eye on this motherfucker. He looks dodgy. And he was just causing
break
trouble.
Someone's nose.
Yeah, well, he was trying to hit on her and flirt with her and dance upon her, and she was trying to push him away.
No,
and then she turned around and just clawed him, slapped him across the face, and he just launched her across the dance floor. I'm like, here we go.
You can't.
I have to intervene here.
Yeah, this is it. It's like if someone, it's like when you see, when you take the dog for a walk or something, you see someone else pull their dog a bit hard, and you're like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. I prefer dogs to people. And that sounds crazy. And I know Ben's not here now.
No, not at all. I completely agree.
It blows my mind. So, I don't often get involved in fights with people, but
no.
I very often find myself having a word with people with dogs.
Yeah,
I can't handle that.
Well, this was just, I was just stepping in the way of this guy because I wanted to try and diffuse the circumstance. And I didn't want to elevate it, so I wasn't going to strike him back. And I'd already had my nose broken twice at that point, so I wasn't really too concerned with him hitting it
again. Getting a whack, yeah.
And I could see him pull back, and I kind of braced myself. I knew it was coming. And it just dislodged my septum. And my septum goes over to one side, so it doesn't squash it all that way.
It's made out of Play-Doh, dude.
All the way across.
Look at that. You look like someone sat on a Muppet.
Thanks.
You know, like a puppet.
Thanks.
Like someone
sat on a Muppet.
Yeah. Like, how squashed it went. Look how squashed. Look, I've literally. This
unbelievable.
This is it. And I'm conscious now of
I don't even
people
know why
listening
I bring
to audio.
It.
Dan's nose is flat, like a wafer thin ham or a pancake on one side. So if you've watched the Happyland Murders or whatever it was recently,
yeah,
it looked like someone had made a Muppet puppet and yeah. then sat on it on the way over and been like, slowly it'll come over. It's back to normal.
Or like a flat snappy baseball cap that yeah. someone sat on.
Yeah, and it's just it's just got to relax back into
yeah,
it.
Yeah. yeah. Anyway.
Talking about noses.
Do you have any more questions?
No.
Any more broken nose?
I think, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my God.
What about my black tooth? What about my black tooth grin?
What? Is that to Castle Grayskull?
I was talking to Kid Mystery about this yesterday. When I've got, you know, when I've got a level of money where I don't, it doesn't really matter how I look.
What type of level is that money called?
I don't
called?
Know. I'm not
is
sure
it,
where
is it
that is.
It's called fuck you money.
It is called fuck you money.
Okay.
I don't know where I have to escalate that pay scale to get to that stage, but that's the stage where you'll know I've got there because I'll have neck tattoos and a gold tooth.
And is that tooth going to be pushed? No. One bullet.
I'm going to take that one out and then the one at the front that's crooked yeah. that keeps cutting the inside of my lip. I have a skull and crossbones on the inside of my lip,
yeah,
as you know. But the majority of it's bled out because every time Jimmy Warhead punches me in the face, it busts my lip and a bit more of the ink comes out.
I could see. Well, that would be his only challenge now. He's just got
he let
to
me
try
take
and work
him down
out.
Yesterday.
We did, were recording did he let you?
We were recording for Bet365
okay.
and he very graciously let me take him
That's
down.
That's nice of him.
It's the first time ever I've taken Jimmy Warhead down.
That's what bros do.
And I could feel
and film
I
it.
Could feel the tension in his body as he like tried
Pure
to
rage.
Accept the fact that I was like, ah, okay.
This is being filmed.
Yeah. There are two people in the world that are as stubborn as each other. One is Jimmy Warhead, the other one is Hector Lombard.
Okay.
He not even in drilling does he let people take him down in sparring.
Oh, really?
He is like a brick wall.
He's built like a brick wall,
he is,
isn't
yeah,
he? Look
he
at
is.
That dagger tattoo
he's built
on
like,
his leg.
Like a He-Man character. Legitimately like a He-Man
yeah, for
character.
Real. Yeah, scary. Yeah, no, I was only going to mention noses after you...
With Cleedson. I got an email that I was saying his name wrong. I think I said Clidson a few times. It's Clidson.
Did you not get told?
Abreu.
Because you said he could sniff round corners.
Sniff round corners. He could.
Dude.
Factual information. I was surprised it didn't bleed more, though.
I mean,
it was a bad break.
It was the end of the first round, and the cut man came in. But don't get me wrong, he might be a pro, or he might have been in there forever, and I've just not seen him. But a guy coming in with a little flat cap on that I've never seen before, with the cotton swab, and just went... Bing,
straight up his
schnoz, and I was like, "Easy, this guy."
See his eyes spinning.
Yeah, literally jackpots rolling in. I was like, "Dude, maybe like just dial your peaky blinders back a little bit. Just maybe be a bit more gentle."
Yeah, that was bad. You've got to get it up there, though.
Imagine being clipped again, though.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I was having with Kid Mystery yesterday about broken noses, and I had a fight in. I took it on like a day's notice in Sheffield. And I got punked by the promoter. I ended up like main event fighting for a world title with no notice, no training against this absolute monster. And we went five rounds. It was five 3-minute rounds. And he broke my nose like end of the first, beginning of the second. And it was just a mess. It was like it was swelling up as the fight went on to the point where both my eyes had kind of swollen shut before the end of the fight. And it was bleeding profusely. And I've got the video somewhere. I need to find it, and we need to edit into one of these, so people can see it. Because I found all my old tapes the other day as I was clearing out. And I remember this shot. It's being filmed from the crowd, and I'm walking across, and I just come into under the spotlight, and I breathe out, and I've got these two big like
streams,
these big bursts of like red steam.
Nice.
It looked cool.
I'd have tried to get that.
Felt like
eyes.
A dragon.
I'd have used that to my advantage.
He was backing up at that point because I think he'd knocked me down twice and I kept getting back up. that was a bad broken nose, though.
It was, man. It was. Not like Orlovsky bad. Did you see Orlovsky's x-rays the other day on his Instagram?
No.
It's just, he looked like someone's bucket of Lego. It looked like someone had x-rayed a bucket of Lego and he was like, not fixed yet. And like, dude, one day maybe. That's going to need a lot of scaffolding.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. They could probably just replace it at some point.
They're going to have to make it out of Lego.
There you go.
Stick it on.
That's a business.
Jesus.
We can make Lego pieces in the shape of an Orlovsky nose. yeah.
Of course we can.
You know, so just staying on that fight, seeing as we're on that. Magomed Ankalaev, I had such high expectations for him when he came into the UFC, and he just doesn't seem to have found his rhythm yet. I mean, he beat Clidson.
Yeah.
The whole fight.
Yeah.
But just it wasn't able to put his foot in the gas enough to get the finish. And when you broke someone's nose in the first round... That for me is an injury that you should really be exploiting throughout enough to... I mean, remember what happened to Rory McDonald?
Yeah.
You know?
it's forever changed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's forever changed.
And with it, that guy's got, he's got a good jab, he's got a decent clinch, so he could get inside, work elbows and knees. I would like to see him. And I mean, you remember his UFC debut when Paul Craig Venus fly trapped him
in like the last dying seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So essentially, 59. He won his debut to it. Like, in if it was up to Chael Sonnen,
for sure,
he'd beat a guy up for three rounds, right?
Yeah, he is the champion, but I am the best.
Yeah,
I like that line.
Best line ever.
Yeah. What other fights stood out to you? Have you watched the whole card? Did you watch the prelims yet?
I managed to catch.
You've been busy fixing cars.
That's
and stuff.
It. Yeah, I managed to catch Fishy's fight.
Fishy,
which was fucking amazing.
It was a great performance.
After Dean spun me out last week.
Yeah, dropping I did in. Feel sorry for Daniel Taylor though. I mean, he's on a bit of a skid now. I think he's lost three fights since he's been in the UFC, and he's good, man. He's
this
good.
Is it.
He's got a lot of kickboxing matches. He's talented, like his brother did.
He didn't look outclassed. Mm-mm. He didn't look outclassed. It just looked like. I mean, it went Chris's way. He was brilliant the whole time. And the finish, it was just one of them where you could see it sneaking in and you're just willing it for him. Because if he'd have lost, would that have been
two in a row? Two in a
row
for Chris.
Essentially, they were both in a... It was a similar fight. But
I saw him at the hotel afterwards. I saw him the next morning at the hotel. We were traveling out around the same time. And every time, he just kept coming over to me and shaking my hand. And he kept smiling. He was like, just... You could just see that relief.
But
that,
you've been there, you know, man. I
mean? Yeah,
you've been
sure.
there. And the difference Absolutely. Is that they're not coming up to someone like Bruce Buffer or Joe or someone like that. You've been there. You've mm-hmm. experienced it, highs and lows. So,
yeah,
it's good, man.
Yeah, that was great. What other performances?
Peter Yan, John Dodson.
What a monster. I know he's got a nickname, Peter Yan. I know he's No Mercy, which is a great nickname. But
yeah.
He's like a Siberian tiger.
Dude, he really literally is. Didn't start. He reminded me a bit of a Frankie Edgar.
The little jog he does. Back to you, like if you've broke off the fence and managed to get away, and you just like a little jump
before
he gets back into his
little dad run.
Yeah,
it's like someone's let a Rock'em Sock'em robot out of the game. So.
Yeah, those things that used to wind up.
Yeah, with it. Clockwork
Toys. What called. That was an irrelevant reference.
But it was the. I mean, John Dodson. He looks a bit older now. He's obviously he's established himself over a number of years, and has always been brilliant. But he looked. I don't know if it was the travel. I don't know if it was the weight. He didn't look the same. As much as I'm not taking anything away from Peter Yan's performance, he looked outstanding.
Mm.
But John Dodson didn't look like the same.
No. But he's not looked the same since he's moved to bantamweight. Though.
No.
I mean, if you think of how he was at flyweight, he only lost to Demetrius Johnson twice.
Yeah.
And it was the first fight. I'm sure he dropped him twice in the first round once and once in the second or something like that.
He looked like he was...
Yeah, yeah.
He was a contender.
But I think he hits a ceiling. So, like... Obviously, his ceiling at... why am I forgetting the weight class?
Lightweight? Featherweight? No. Bantamweight?
No.
All the weight?
Flyweight.
Flyweight,
eh? When he was at flyweight, his ceiling was Demetrius Johnson and nobody else.
Yes.
So he was number one contender.
Always.
There was nobody better than him. Whereas at bantamweight, he's number six, number seven, number eight. Yes. And that's where his ceiling is because those guys are... Technically proficient enough to deal with him, and powerful enough to hurt him, and then Peter Yan's just steps over that mark.
Yeah, it just seems to affect him massively. He's not going out there with the same sort of. I mean, he had the confidence at the end to have his hand raised as if to say, "I've definitely won this."
I don't know
because I never liked. I don't know how a fighter's seen it. I don't know if they've been clipped a bit where you think, "All right, well, maybe not remembering it all." Mm. But it was the absolute confidence. He had his arm up, and then when it was called, he even did that sort of dirty look as if to say, "Yo." I didn't win.
Yeah.
And I didn't... Not that I was taking anything away from Peter Yan because he didn't seem to give a shit.
No.
But I didn't... He looked outclassed the whole time.
Mm. He's asked for Jimmy Rivera next.
That'd be good.
That's a good fight. Well, Tiger Shulman's doing another good striker that's probably going to want to strike over grapple.
Yeah, and it's another good gatekeeper, man. It's another one of them that is just ticking. It's just working its way up.
See, he's kind of hit a bit of a slow patch. He's just fought John Dodson as well, did he not? If I remember right. Yeah, Jimmy Rivera was John Dodson's fight before Peter Yan.
Yeah.
And he beat John Dodson. That's a good call out, you know.
Yeah.
Peter Yan's thought about that. Because where is he right now? Number six in the rankings. If he beats Jimmy Rivera, that's a he's up in
Big
the top
time.
Five.
Yeah, because then
that's
would...
That's like putting a Siberian tiger amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, but imagine putting Yan against Aljo.
Fighting, Aljo would be good.
But
imagine
that's
him fighting,
like this.
No, but imagine him fighting Henry Cejudo coming up.
That'd be good.
That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because then we can see what his takedown defense is like because Dodson couldn't keep a hold of him.
Yeah, but that's that same Johnny Walker thing where they're on enough of their climb, they're on enough of that momentum that you could throw him into anyone at any time and you never know. Like, I'd quite happily put Peter Yan up for a belt.
For sure.
Just because you know that he's got that absolute grit and determination that he's,
I just don't think
he
can beat him. I just think he might be that fighter that he's just going to be able to march his way through this division.
He just looks so good every time.
I mean, I know that he wasn't able to stop John Dodson, but he beat him convincingly, 30-27 on every scorecard. And you got to think, if John Dodson was more aggressive in trying to get the finish himself, that would have opened him up for a finish from Jan.
Definitely, because he caught him. Because before I watched it, I actually went into Fight Pass, and like an idiot, I read like the stats. And I hate seeing that. I try and play it before I can see it. I know it sounds stupid. But I'd seen that Jan got dropped and Dodson didn't. But really, that's on the stats, the official stats.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a two or three times, even John picked up on it and he was like, he's knocked him on his arse. Mm-hmm. Not that John
but
said
I have
that.
So my setup for commentary, I have the regular monitor in front of me that shows me exactly what the cameras are putting out. So I can see what everybody else is seeing.
Okay.
I've also obviously got my perspective sitting octagon side. But then I have another screen to my right, which I can ask for replays in. So if ever there's something happened
or there's an eye poke
or a groin shot or there's a particular knockdown that I wasn't quite sure what landed, I can call straight through to my producer and say, hey, can you show me that again? Show me that again. And that was as soon as I saw that knockdown, it didn't feel like a concussive knockdown.
No.
So I asked it immediately for the replay and you could see it was as Jan was stepping. Dodson caught him clean. It was a nice shot, but it was because he caught Jan while he was on his heels, square against him. So he had no base moving backwards. I mean, that's the speed of Dodson. He is always dangerous and he's got that power. But Peter Jan just walked him down. I don't even know how you could score that round for Dodson aside from the knockdown.
Any of them.
Maybe if it was a bang and he's down and he's scrambling and he's hurt clearly, but he was back on his feet and pressuring again.
But was it Dodson that fence grabbed again?
Yeah, that was a bad fence grab.
Yeah, and it was.
They got a point deducted, didn't they?
Yeah, was it Tamer?
Tamer, it was straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he took
that
it
would
straight
have been
off.
A takedown.
Oh,
that
mate.
But then again,
it's
so
the same
would,
as the
so
Dodson.
Yeah.
And it has to be a rule through. Because the thing is, I know your natural reaction is to grab out. Mm. I know that. And it's obviously when these guys are pros, they've got like 30 fights between them or 40 fights. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
You've got to take a point, but you've got to start making a point of it.
The question at that point is the referee watching? Is the referee involved in the fight educated enough in wrestling to know that grab on the fence was enough to stop the takedown?
Yeah, I mean,
was it Mark Goddard that was refereeing the fish called Tamor fight? No, it was Herb.
Yeah,
and Herb made the right call there. He was like, no, straight away. It was clearly going to be a takedown,
which is perfect.
Yeah,
yeah. But the thing is, it makes a big difference because Peter Jan could have finished him.
Mm.
You never know, but it's got to be. But it's got to be the same for everyone.
Like the other thing, like going back to the fish called Daniel Tamor fight. To be as strict as that, especially when it clearly affected the takedown, is a good deterrent because then you go in, you may have been able to scramble back to your feet and lost the first 30 seconds of that fight on the takedown.
But at least
you got back
fair.
To your feet, exactly. Whereas now you know you're down a point on that round, no matter what.
There you go. So you've got to fight twice as hard to avoid that draw or that loss.
Yeah, you've got to win the next two rounds just to get a draw if you have the point deducted.
Well, I always feel... I know fighting's a very solo sport.
No, that's not right.
What did you say?
I said you've got to win the next two rounds. No, that's not right. But yeah, you're up against it basically if you're a point down. I mean, if you're 9-9 going in, if you win the rest of that round, it's still a 9-9 round.
But you still never know. And the, one of the most famous things is never leave it in the judges' hands because you've seen the amount of calls we've seen.
The next
stupid
two
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am right.
But yeah, always. But it was.
Not always.
It was more the. What was I saying?
I don't know.
I can't remember now.
I don't know. I was trying to figure out whether I was correct or not.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure whether I am. It's been a long weekend.
It's been a long weekend. I'm just trying to rewind my brain.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
it.
I need to defrag.
Yeah.
I need like 3 hours of like complete standby.
Yeah.
Just so my brain can update. I think I'm running old software, perhaps.
Oh, mate, mine's way old.
What about the other fights? What about... Gillian Robertson, who I accidentally called Gillian Anderson one time. Joel Alvarez. Alvarez!
I
accidentally called Joel Ramirez. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where it came from.
What's the worst name gaffe you've ever done?
Calling Gunnar Nelson Rick Story.
After what? What happened?
After, you know. You fucking know what happened. You know what happened.
All right, Rick.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, Rick, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Molly. Fucking hell.
The amount of shit I got for that. They're like, it's Gunnar Nilsson. It's like, of course it's Gunnar Nilsson. I know it's Gunnar Nilsson.
Who?
Is it? Really?
This guy?
That guy I've just been researching for 2 weeks.
That stoic guy who's built like a Dorito. Oh, he looks nothing like fucking Rick Story.
Yeah, built like a Dorito. It stands like a hockey player. I've always noticed that.
Yeah. Almost like Chuck Liddell.
Like he does a lot of... Yeah. I mean, he's from Iceland. We're going to go out to Iceland, aren't we? We've got the boys behind the camera. The Media Raptors.
They're in.
We've got Kid Mystery and Slim with his new haircut. Looking good.
Frosty
looking
tip good, slim.
Right?
Frosty tip slim. Right? They're bringing it back,
looking
man.
Looking good. Right.
Other fights. Stefan.
Other fights. Stefan Struve. I was gutted. Mate. I almost broke down in the octagon.
For real, I nearly cried
Stefan,
at home.
No.
Yeah, mate.
Stefan, no.
I could just tell.
Not now. It's not the right time.
No, I didn't think so.
You're so tall. You should
be a
champion.
Bit taller. You should be just a bit taller. Just wait till Stipe gets it back and just
rerun
it.
We can make you the king of the world.
Mate. Yeah.
What does he go into now, though? This is the question that was sparked immediately after his retirement for me. Like he's got to get roles in Viking movies and Gladiator movies and... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he could have been in Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings.
Anything. Anything
he'd be
fantasy
awesome
wise.
In all of those. Yeah. Carrying a big axe over his shoulder.
Mate.
Right?
Obviously, you've
Come
stood
on.
With him.
I should be his agent.
He's... fucking massive. I stood on a chair.
He is.
When I first met him for UFC Knots, I stood on a chair and I was still only just as tall as him.
Yeah.
And he's taller now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's a monster.
I think we should do a remember that fight for Stefan's fights because there's quite a few fun fights for that.
Yeah. We'd have to have a wide angle lens and turn the camera on its side though to make sure we get him in.
Well, I'm picking ground fights. I want to see. One of my favourite Stefan fights was against Pat Barry because I actually met them both together. In Nottingham when Pat came over for a signing and Stefan was there and I was obviously doing all his fight stuff. So it was a weird one to see, but it was awesome. And I'm not in yet. Hey.
Here we are. We're live. We're live on Instagram.
Oh shit, are we live?
Yeah, we're live. Carry on.
I'm getting in the camera.
I'm going to show people what's behind the camera. Carry on with, with your story, please.
So Stefan, I want to see, I'd like to watch that again. And the who else did he fight? He fought a massive name that was a bit worrying at the time. LeVar Johnson.
Right.
And it was before LeVar Johnson came in and was smashing everyone. And he started putting it on Stefan. And then literally got subbed.
Mm-hmm.
It was wicked.
Yeah.
That's really freaking me out a little bit. I'm hearing it playing out over there. And a good job.
We're playing with all the technology today.
Okay.
We had drones out today as well, scaring the shit out of my neighbours. They thought there was a swarm of wasps in the village.
A bunch of angry wasps. Or a swarm.
A swarm.
This reminds me of a story I had to tell you real quick. I was thinking about it on the way down. Because it's reminded me of Total Recall. Because it's a bit trippy.
Right.
When we were kids, my mum used to buy us a blank videotape every year for Christmas.
A blank videotape.
Imagine
for Christmas.
That. Imagine the joy, right? But that was my tape. So it was like a 3 hour or 6 hour long play.
Right.
And I'd write my name on it and I could record whatever I want. No one else would touch it. Because I think basically my mum...
Kept all your porn on there, kept it under the bed.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I took the bottom drawer of my bedside table out and put it under there and then put the drawer back. That's where you keep your, that's where you keep your stash. So basically, my mum bought us a videotape each and I went to bed one night and I said to her, can you record Total Recall?
Right.
Which she was like, yeah, no problem, bro. So off I went. A few days later, I got around to watching Total Recall. Bear in mind, I'm about 11 at this point. So I've watched Total Recall, but my mum's done the thing.
I got 18 kids to feed.
Quaid. So the whole time when I'm watching it, my mum said to me, oh, I missed the first 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, right, you missed the first 20 minutes. No worries. I never realised that Total Recall was like a fantasy world and it was all virtual reality because the first 20 minutes wasn't on the video.
Oh,
what the
no.
fuck? Can you imagine
so you
that?
Didn't get the proper backstory to it?
No, not at all. I just thought that Arnie was in like Mars. So yeah, I got fucked over. But that was what that reminded me of.
What else on the card?
Stefan Struve.
Stefan Struve. Right. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah,
Stefan
he looked
Struve.
Good, man.
No, it's all right.
He looked really good. It was nice
what
to see.
What about the body shot? From and I'm a little disappointed it happened so quickly, to be honest. I mean, what was it, 90 seconds into the fight?
Dude.
Because I've been practicing Michał's name all week.
Go on then, give us a couple.
Michał Oleksiejczuk.
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 Michał
Oleg Sejdiuk.
Right?
If you ask me to say that later before I leave, Oleg Sejdiuk, I won't remember.
We'll record that. We'll drop it in.
Yeah.
We've got some of you singing at the start as well.
Oh, really?
Lovely. Really nice. I can't help but beautiful
singing.
Voice.
It's terrible singing, but I do like singing.
Well, I know.
I love it. I'm not going to do a Nick P. Island, weren't we? Fully smash out some Sister Act business.
I know, right?
That was so good.
I was impressed, yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed.
He should sing all the time. We could understand him better with his accent.
I'm not even going
to
go there.
Oh, hang on. I've got a bone to pick. A quick bone to pick. The knockdown of Cain Velasquez. It was the uppercut.
He was punched.
He got hit with the uppercut and collapsed onto his knee. And because he's a heavyweight, he pulled his knee apart.
Well, you don't sprawl like that. No one sprawls like Bambi on ice.
Exactly. That's why he said at the end...
Ow, that fucking hurt.
Too close. Yeah. He said he was standing too close. He stood too close too early.
Mate, it was the spinning wheel kicks that got me at first with Kane. I was like, easy. Your legs are made out of crisps. Don't do that.
How do you make it to a whole training camp without breaking? That's the.
I don't know.
But must have just been really gentle.
That money must have helped. That could have come in well. Did you see his paycheck that came through?
No. Did he clean up?
Jeebus.
Really?
Disclosed. I think it was half a mil.
Ooh, good for Kane.
Money.
Yeah. How about... Carlos Diego Ferreira against Rustam Khabilov. That was a good fight. I enjoyed that
fight.
I know it was a decision, but it was Ferreira just pushed forward the whole time. He walked him down. He kept throwing big punches. He kept defending takedowns. And every time he ended up on the floor, he was tying him up, locking him up, twisting him up.
Nice.
Very, very impressive.
I'll have to watch that back because I'm literally, like you were saying, I've been that busy fixing stupid shit that I've managed to catch up on certain stuff, but not everything else.
And then there was the Ismail Narodiev.
I love when you've been learning your names and you've not
against
really
against Michel Prezeresh.
Prezeresh. You sound like
Sean Connery.
Yeah, a little bit.
Prezeresh. I was very impressed with him. The first thing I thought is he's taking this fight on short notice. Prezeresh was supposed to be fighting Ramazan Amiev, I think. If I remember right.
It's like one of them wheels that spin around. It's like, D is for a dog.
I've just got all these names in
my head.
Yeah, you've
got all the names.
So he took that on short notice. He's the Austrian Wonder Boy.
Wow.
That's worth a watch as well if you haven't seen that. It's a decision, but it was incredibly impressive. You know Prezeris, don't you? The guy who was formerly a lightweight that just struggled to make the weight class because he's as wide as he is tall.
Dude, look at him. He's shredded.
Yeah, he's a monster. Tractor, as for some reason his nickname's become. I know. We've westernized it for him. I was very, very impressed with Narodiev.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a really exciting addition to the welterweight division. He's only young as well. He's 22.
It seems
like 17-2 or something like that.
There's a lot of people coming through at the minute, isn't there? There's a lot of new talent. And
the younger
I mean,
talent,
he's had 12 fights.
For sure.
12 fights in the UFC and... Mm. I can't remember them all.
No.
And I'd like to, I normally like to think I've watched everything.
Well, his last one was against Bartosz Fabinski, who's a really good judo player. And in his fights, I can't remember who he made his debut against.
Who?
Basically, Bartosz Fabinski. Muscled him to the floor, controlled him, just an oppressive top game.
Smashed him up.
But Prezeris knocked him down with two punches in the first 10 seconds and then guillotined him wicked fast.
Nice.
And then the next fight was Hadjovic against Polo Reyes. I thought that was going to be contender for Fight of the Night, but I don't think they gave Fight of the Night out, did they? No. I was rolling and hitting pads with Hadjovic's coaches this week.
How was that?
Really good. Jon Ostergaard? I think that's right. Was holding pads for me, which was very nice. I've not hit pads for a few months.
That'd be good, man. I saw you rolling with Johnny.
Rolling with Johnny G's.
That was funny with his head guard.
Yep.
He went full Scott Steiner, didn't he?
Yep. His new grappling nickname is the Glass Swan. He's the Glass Swan.
I'm not going to say that to him because he'll challenge me.
Yeah. He's good. He's good. He's got a good base. He's difficult to move around. He's been working on his game.
We should make him a belt. A gold belt, which is like an oversized bow tie.
Johnny G's, G-double-E-Z.
Yeah, just an oversized bow tie.
Oh, yes.
You could fight for the bow tie championship.
Nice. Nice.
Imagine that.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll
That's
do
good.
It. Yeah, definitely. I'll get on to drawing plans.
Hadjovic was very impressive as well. Top game, strong top game, held the position, just worked his ground and pound. I think we're going to call... We're going out to Copenhagen, aren't we, for Cage Warriors? So I think we're going to call in and see them at their gym.
Nice one.
Artisuave. What a beautiful name.
Wow.
better than Hardy Warlord. It just sounds thuggish, doesn't it?
I don't know. Art of Suave sounds a bit like the Crown Derby plate that I broke of my mum's when I was a kid. And the Hardy Warlord is the IKEA replacement that is pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
It's sturdy and it's trustworthy and you know where you stand with it.
IKEA would have been built much faster. This gym's taken far too long for it to be IKEA.
Yeah, it wasn't IKEA. Holy shit. Man.
Yeah. Anyway, Gillian Robertson again was awesome against Veronica Macedo. That was a good. That was a scrappy fight while it lasted, but Gillian Robertson's ability to take the back and just strangle people is, yeah. And then Dwight Grant, did you see the knockout of a Pedersoli?
I didn't. No, I missed it.
Pedersoli was having a really good first round. He was controlling the pace. He was being quite aggressive. And Dwight Grant was kind of backing up and giving him space. And then there was a shot that Pedersoli came in with a kick. And as he landed, Dwight Grant threw a punch and just came right across his chin. Knocked his mouth guard right across the octagon. And he just landed on a heap. He kind of turtled. He wasn't completely unconscious.
That's the picture you want, though, isn't it? For the grandkids to see. This guy going down with...
Chin across with your mouth guard halfway out. 100%. Yeah. And then he got up and had no idea what had happened and was protesting the stoppage, which you absolutely couldn't have protested that.
Yeah, when you're picking up your head out of the third row.
Yeah. And then main card. We've spoke. That was difficult. Liz Carmouche against Lucy Podolova.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, so I have the stats in front of me, so I can see what the UFC stats are recording and who's having what successes with what takedowns and, you know, what strikes they're landing, those kind of things. I could see that she was having, she had a terrible success rate. I think by the end of the fight, she had a 12% success rate with her strikes. So she'd thrown a lot and landed hardly anything. Yeah. Carmouche was backing up, moving away. And every time Podolova threw something that looked like it almost landed, the crowd were erupting. So I thought to myself, I wonder if because obviously the judges don't have the stats.
No.
So my concern was that they'd be swayed by the crowd and think that Podolova had won the fight. When in actuality, Liz Carmouche landed something like 30 more strikes and two takedowns.
And look, mate, she just looks so solid.
She's strong. I wouldn't like to fight her, I tell you that. She looks immensely strong.
Because was it Liz Carmouche that opened the division with
She was the very
Ronda.
First female to walk to the octagon.
Yeah. Against Ronda, right?
Yeah, and I think that fight was on the anniversary of that fight as well.
Could you imagine now, after you saw her lose to Ronda the first time and all the mystique was there at the time, imagine her fighting Ronda now.
Yeah, right.
I think she would punch a hole through her.
Yeah, right.
Fucking hell.
Especially with Ronda's shadowboxing.
With a rowdy roddy.
Yeah, yeah. She's found her calling. That's what she loved wrestling. I called in to see her one time, and she has a place in Venice Beach.
How was that?
It was cool. I just called in and have a chat with her, and she was just hanging out on the sofa at the end of a training day, and she was watching Simpsons and then WWE.
Of course she was.
You know, and it was clear that's she really enjoyed it. So she's found a calling now. She changed mixed martial arts. We can't forget that.
Yeah, for real. She's going to start making babies soon, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Super babies. Married up. Brown.
Yeah. Oversized. Super babies.
And
you got Maine.
What have we talked? We've not talked about it. Oh, just the main event.
Maine.
Jan Błachowicz.
I felt for Jan.
I did.
Because
I
think, this is no disrespect to Santos, I think I said to you when I got here this morning, he's got that Mike Perry mystique where no one's managed to use a game plan to sort of slow him down yet. And he's walking in and everyone's going, yeah, whatever, and just getting bingoed. Where Jan looked like he had a game plan in the first round. He was staying close to him. He was using nice footwork. Everything was looking amazing. But it was that one overreach or whatever when he just got clipped and that's all it took.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he'd gone, right, we've got five rounds. We know he starts fast and he's aggressive, so we're expecting the first two rounds for him to be a bit chaotic and to have to defend a lot. So he was pressuring but patient in the first two rounds, didn't really do much.
Yeah.
And then when he went back to his corner, he's like,
I'm ready now.
I've been patient for 10 minutes, can I fight now?
Yeah.
And they were like, yep, go out, it's now your time. But Santos was still powerful and not nearly as tired as they expected.
Well, he hadn't pushed enough out of him.
Exactly.
And it's one of them where it's like when you make a dog sit for a treat and there's only so long that they sit there before they're like, yo, give me the treat, motherfucker. Yeah. And it was almost like Jan just wanted to go back to... I mean, he's had them stand-up wars with Jimmy where they're both as dangerous as each other and he's survived. But Santos is a different animal.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jan charging forward, but in order to charge forward, he has to already start the combination off moving backwards.
Yeah.
Like if you think of his knockout against... knockout, knockdown against Manoa... He was backing up, caught him with a couple of left hooks, then hit him with that uppercut.
Dude.
Started the combination, and then he chases. Same thing with fought in Croatia.
He fought in Croatia?
Yeah, they fought in Zagreb. I like to try and Jan. Test my brain, yeah.
Go on then, right. So he fought in Croatia.
I've forgotten.
Is it Nikita?
No.
Is it Jared?
Igor Pokrajac.
Igor.
I called that a fight. I can't remember. I forgot that. No, I didn't call that. I was Octagon side for that because this.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so that's justified.
No, that's good. That's good.
We don't think you should.
It's not on me. It was a good fight. I don't think Jan loses too much. I just think he propels Santos up after the work that he's done to put
100%
a four fight streak together.
The problem is, it's what I mean. Jan gave himself a massive pedestal to stand on,
yeah.
And I don't think he's lost a massive amount because obviously he beat Jimmy, which is huge.
Yeah.
After he lost to him.
Mm.
He then came in and beat Krylov.
Yeah, I was expecting that to be a tougher fight as well because he was good before he left the UFC. He was a heavyweight as well.
Yeah.
He was the guy that got Von Prue choked.
Yes.
Remember that? I was grappling with Hadjovic's coach the other day when we were in Prague, Nikolai. He's a very good grappler. Really good to work with. And he caught me an elbow under the chin. And I bit my tongue.
Ooh.
It's still swollen.
How often do you keep playing
with
it?
That's why I'm fucking with my tongue. So I'm excusing myself.
It's horrible, isn't it? Because you can't stop. You just keep nudging it.
One of my Cage Warriors fights, it was a no contest. I took a bunch of elbows to the back of the neck and head and couldn't feel the side of my face for about 3 months. I kept biting the inside of my cheek and it was just all kind
of... We spoke about it before, didn't we? You have to keep pressing it until you press the pain out of it.
Is that right?
I think I broke my finger. I keep fucking with it until it...
This rib hurts.
Yeah.
Why are you pressing it then? Because I want to make sure it's still hurting.
I want to make sure that I can take the worst it feels so then when I do catch it, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Dude, Kid Mystery showed me a video yesterday. The Brutal Black Project? Yeah. Holy shit.
What are they doing?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not... They're tattoo artists. They're two tattoo artists that are working together. And they've created this. Well, it's finished now. They put an end to it. But it was like it was an art movement. It was quite interesting, really. But they were taking people to the extremes of pain with tattooing, and it was like they got this really cool room with like high windows and a table, and it was quite ceremonial. But it was all black ink, and they were just blacking out big parts of his body, were going like across his face and like into his neck, and it was just. It started off where they were doing it, you know, a few years before when they started, where they were doing like patterns and making it more intricate and like planning out where they were going to do it.
Now they're just sharpening it.
And then it just kind of just got crazy. And like he keeps trying to get up and they're putting him down and keeping going. And
oy.
Yeah, trying to push people to their limit. I mean, like you've sat for long whiles, haven't you? Like my chest, I had that done over 2 days. So that was 5 hours on one side and then 7 the next day. Like makes me feel I almost collapsed on the way back to the hotel.
That's it.
It's
how it affects the rest of your body.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget, I've been tattooed like in my armpit and it's making my ear wiggle.
Yeah.
Physically wiggle. And I'm like, no. No.
Legs kicking.
Yeah, that's not meant to do that.
I'm having the inside of my arm.
Yeah, it's
tattooed
like
my legs
scratching a dog's belly.
Starting a motorbike.
But that's it. Well, I do that. But then it's like Tony will do this thing where he'll go 2 more minutes and I just get that rush. And I'm like, oh, we're finished. And they're going for another hour, and that turns into cold sweat. Have you ever had it where you can feel that single bead dropping down your arm? You're like, it feels like acid. It feels like acid. It's fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not, I don't know, I've got quite a lot of black work on me, but I don't think I'd like to be pinned down to a table in a ceremonial room and get fucking jazzed out with a 16 needle.
Yeah, was intense. There's a video on YouTube. We'll have to link it on the bottom of the thingy or something because we want to go and see him, don't we? Yeah. What's his name? Cameron something.
You know, if he just starts colouring in your dude or something.
Yeah.
This scar man needs colouring in. It's like, fucking doesn't. What's this room?
No, I would like something by him though. I'd like to...
Cammy tattoo. There we go. Shout out there.
I'd like to get something by him. I'm not... I can't do big chunks of black, especially not across my face.
Imagine.
For ESPN. Not until I've got the...
ESPN, your mum and your nan.
Yeah,
I'm telling you now.
Absolutely.
Nana Barbara would be back. She'd be back quick sharp.
She'd be in the car on the way up.
She'd absolutely. Drive from Portugal back home just to see her.
Dusting her.
What's
cleaning
this?
The dusters up.
You'd be in big trouble.
Shall we jump onto this weekend? Shall we...
You're quite busy this weekend, aren't you?
I am mad busy this weekend. Mad busy this weekend. This is going out. When's this going out? I don't know that I can tell people
what
about
day is it today
yet, because there's going to be a press release.
You but can't tell anyone who about
some
what?
Radio stuff coming up.
Are you not allowed to talk about that?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I don't think
but
so.
But I fucking know. So
I don't think I can say anything yet because I'm not sure when it's being announced. However, yes, Cage Warriors this weekend.
Yeah.
It's 102. The media Raptors will be there.
That'd be good.
Videoing all the kinds of good shit.
Well, we've got
loads of good stuff coming. They were working on stuff at 101 and it looks shit out.
Well, dude,
that's really cool.
I can't wait to see James Hendon, who's now a Warrior.
Yeah.
Mate,
yeah.
We've been selling out some shirts.
I know, right?
He's impressed.
He's almost outselling my signature shirts.
Well, bear in mind, I have to do the artwork.
We'll cut him. He's fired.
Yeah. Why is that? Because you outsold the Outlaw. Big mistake.
Outsold.
Yeah.
That's what I have to change the back of the shirt to.
Yeah, outdone. But when I'm doing the artwork, essentially the size of the print is a certain width.
Mm-hmm.
So Outlaw, Renegade,
yep.
Judo, Apex, yep. Easy.
Yeah, they fit.
Dean sent across the Honey Badger. And I was like, you're fucking with me, right? And he's like, no, you'll be all right. And not only that, I've got to work the Visionary logo into one of the letters of the logo, of the text.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to jam Honey Badger together. And I was thinking to myself, I should do it in Photoshop. Mm. I'll do it in Photoshop. And then if we don't sell any, I don't have to cut it. I don't have to print it.
And we sold loads.
And we've sold shitloads.
And you had to print loads.
So I've had to, I've had to redo it. But good luck to him, man. Questions. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Oh, shit. We do get questions.
Have we got some
I
questions?
I asked questions before.
Okay,
I'm not, in between 235?
please
do more work with the UFC. Yes, please. I would like to do more work with the UFC.
Like
course.
Fighting work?
People are... Well, I don't know. Probably not.
Ask them to clarify.
Favourite fight that you've seen live? That's a good question.
Mine was the one outside the library at school when I was 11.
Is that right? Yep. Who won?
David Painter.
Really?
It was fucking sick. I said it before. I told you before we went there.
What, bonus worthy finish? Or
all day.
Yeah?
Mate, it was...
outside the library? Did he use a book?
No. Oh. It was in the car park behind the library and my sister basically said to me, there's going to be a fight after school. We're walking home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. We went behind and they knocked the shit through each other. Best fight,
right?
Yeah, literally best fight.
Very cool.
I learned what adrenaline was that day.
Yeah, I think the best fight I've ever seen, the one that first comes to mind, because you can imagine I've seen a whole load. Diego Sanchez against Clay Guida.
Oi, that head kick,
where he hit the canvas and it was like he had springs in his ass cheeks and he just bounced back to his feet like the living dead.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was good. Favorite fight this year. Why are corners in combat sports red and blue? Who determines who is red and blue? I don't know why they're red and blue. Glory don't use red and blue.
There.
I think they use black and white.
It's a cool question.
It is a cool question. I bet Mark Goddard will know. I'll ask.
I wonder if you can choose because I'd prefer blue.
You can't. The way the UFC do it is red is blue corner walks first,
okay.
And usually blue corner is the lower ranked fighter.
Because the challenger.
Yeah, for sure. So
to the contender.
Yeah. Champion's always in the red corner.
Okay.
Champion's always in the
that's
red
a good
corner.
That's a good little bit of pub trivia, isn't it? It's like, what are the names of the ghosts on Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde.
We have a question from...
Did you know that?
What?
Pub trivia, what are the names of the four ghosts in Pac-Man? Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. And how many dots are there? Something like 240 Pac-Man dots on a board. But it's just good knowledge, just
that
to
is
wax
good
out.
Knowledge.
Yeah,
I'm sure someone
fucking
will need that
useless,
at some point.
But yeah, when you want
to quotas and taggers, if you ever use that bit of information,
100%.
I don't think I'll ever use
just
it.
Just double check how many dots.
But I hope you do
board.
Genuinely. This is a great question from Carl Jones, Carlito Heat. I feel like I should do a tongue roll after that, but I'm not gonna bother trying.
No, do it again. Do it again.
Carlito
Miguel.
Heat.
Miguel. Do it in a Miguel style.
I can't.
Carlito.
Carlito
yeah,
Heat.
Nice.
I'd like to hear. Michael Buffer announced him. He's got a wicked spot. Or, no, it's gone.
Michael Shirella.
If you and Monkey Chops 81 could make dream MMA matches, no matter what weight class, who would be fighting? Hashtag for all the Lego. For all of the
I like
Lego.
That question. Mm. It would definitely be someone like Phil Baroni.
I'd do Captain Redbeard off the very first Lego pirate ship.
Oh shit, this not just fighters.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he said it any weight. I mean, we're talking grams, but.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay. Go for it.
I think Captain Redbeard with his hook and his wooden leg.
Yeah.
Because obviously the wooden leg's a slight disadvantage. It's going to take away some explosiveness.
Yeah.
But then I think that's balanced out with the hook hand.
Yes.
But then again, he's got one eye, so.
And he'd have to have a glove on that
although
hand.
Although he has a pirate.
He would have to have a glove
pirate,
on the hand.
Parrot. No, I don't think so. Unless he did the Art Jimison, a glove on his hand and just a one. Hook.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
A glove and a
I
hook.
I didn't know I could go to the floor. I was like, stand me up, Rev.
So I would go him and then the Lego Buzz Lightyear, because he was always a smug prick in the movies anyway.
No matter what. Was. Would you not go the normal Lego pirate against a full-size Buzz Lightyear?
I'd still put more money on the Lego pirate.
Yeah, for real. Mm. I don't know how I'll go for it. If it's not a fighter...
No real fights then. Is there a real fight that you like to watch?
I was going to say, yeah. What, as a fighter, just a dream matchup from back in the day?
I'd like to see Israel Adesanya. No, I'll take that back, because I think we need to stick to like an age-appropriate fight. Adesanya's a bit too young for this fight. I think we go Anderson Silva against Williams off Enter the Dragon.
Bullshit, Mr. Hammer.
Bullshit, Mr.
Suddenly,
Mr.
I'd like
Hammer.
To leave your island. But Mr. Williams, that just is not possible. Bullshit, Mr. Hammer. And he fucking whoops him. Amazing.
I'll have you and you
and you.
And you. Please understand, if I missed anyone, it's been a long day. Mate, I'm a little tired.
One of the best fucking, best quotable brilliant. Films ever. I actually...
It's
so easy to justify friendships on that, though. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you start talking to someone and you go, some tea, you know, like when you go into
and
someone...
And they don't get it.
And they're like, what? And he's like, get out.
Yeah.
Leave your shoes. Fuck
this conversation is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're married. Don't care. Keep walking.
UFC 235. Where do you want to start? It's a ridiculous
card. Still thinking about my fantasy pick. I've got to be honest.
Go on,
I'll be honest. I'll keep thinking.
We'll stick a pin in it.
Evan Tanner.
Thank you for the...
Would have been on there.
Evan Tanner, yeah.
I was a big fan of Evan Tanner. He was one of the first ones that got me into UFC, to be fair.
He was great. Would you like MVP in UFC? MVP in UFC? Maybe.
I want everyone in UFC. Yeah. I think you just get a better projection in the UFC.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does the UFC offer mental health resources for fighters? That's a good question.
I would have thought so with the Institute.
What they're doing, obviously the Institute, but the UFC also work closely with the Cleveland Clinic, which are based in Vegas. They've got a place in Vegas. And they take fighters regularly and do... I mean, I was there for an International Fight Week a while ago, a couple of years, and I spent like 2 hours at the Institute, and they did a bunch of different brain scans, and they did a bunch of like cognitive tests, memory tests, balance tests, and they're building a database of fighters and anything anybody's struggling with, so we can start understanding the sport better. I mean, the UFC are working quite closely with that kind of stuff.
Well, ever since the insurance came out, I know that was a big thing back in the day, but it was massive. But I don't think the UFC have ever shied away from doing the right thing for fighters. I know that there's extreme examples of people where they feel disgruntled, but in the whole grand scheme of things, they're looking after people a lot more. I mean, whole insurance thing changed the game.
It did.
Like, there was never any people dropping out anywhere near as what there are now. And I'm not saying people just dropped out for the insurance money.
Well, the thing is that it suffered in the beginning because a lot of people had pre-existing conditions that all of a sudden they can get fixed, which were then going to improve their performance, their quality of life, all that good stuff. Loved your UFC face-off interview. How often will we be recording them?
I'd love to see more. I did like them. Yeah, I really liked them.
It's dependent on the fight, though, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be the right matchup. I think if no matter what happens after London, if Darren Till and Leon Edwards are fighting, that would be an awesome one.
Let's just say then, because I'm more interested in when it goes wrong. If you're there with Darren Till and Masvidal, right?
Like that. Am I holding one off and having one under my arm?
Yeah, but which one do you immediately embrace? Because if they both stand up to kick off, which one do you feel like you can talk off a ledge easier? Because I'm not... either of them, if they see red, if they go full Red Ross, we've fucked it. But obviously you're going to try and get in between one of them.
I don't think they would, though. I don't think they would. I think they're both calm and professional enough. I think it would get escalated, and I think they'd get in each other's face a little bit, but I don't think...
What if they just start kicking each other under the table?
Under the table, yes.
Just Rochambeau, just fucking one at a time.
Hey, Till was getting stuck into Piers Morgan the other day. I don't know why. Fair play. Not that he doesn't deserve it, because he's Piers Morgan. Diary of a Pro Gambler. What percentage chance would you give to Anthony Smith? Well, this is a good segue into this next part, because we need to cover this.
Well, we spoke about this on the podcast with Dean, didn't we? Because Dean gave him, was it a 5% chance?
Something like that. What percentage chance would you give Anthony Smith in beating John Jones? What factors make you come to that percentage? Hashtag Full Reptile Radio.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Nice when people use the hashtag. We do like that. We appreciate that. A slim one. but an exciting one.
That's it.
It's like a 7 or 8%, but it's an exciting 7 or 8%, and it's a percentage that will make sure that I'm tuned in with matchsticks in my eye already.
But it's not like a DC Derek Lewis fight, where the problem I get with a lot of fights that I see is I have head and heart. I have what I want to see, and I know obviously you shouldn't get preconceived with what you want to see. I know that, but it's like, say with Anthony Smith and John Jones, I've seen enough fights to know that John Jones stays far enough away to control him with a jab, to take him down at will if he wants to, or to prove a point, keep him at enough distance just to pick him apart and then just land a devastating shot. I know that's going to happen. But then I get caught up in this fantasy world of like, why the fuck not? Anthony Smith deserves
why
this, man.
The fuck not?
Like, if anyone deserves to come out as a good guy and just beat the shit through someone, like, he's faced adversity. Why the fuck? I just want to. He's got the weapons at his disposal. It's not like it's an unknown entity of someone like CM Punk dropping in that you tune in. I love CM Punk. He's a nice guy, but it's not like he's got extraordinary jiu-jitsu.
I
got
a lovely message of him the other day after the commentary gig.
Shout out to CM Punk.
Yeah.
But he's not got a massive right hand, and he's not got insane jiu-jitsu. But Anthony Smith has been proving fuckers wrong. And I genuinely feel that the Volkan fight, that was a game plan. I don't think that was luck. That he's just a tough motherfucker.
Did you watch Inside the Octagon?
I haven't yet.
Oh, it sounds like you did, because you're saying all the right things.
Oh, okay, well, I like to think a lot of it rubs off on
me. He did watch Inside the Octagon. Of course he watched Inside the Octagon. Why would you not? It's already Tuesday of fight week.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mate, I get to Friday. Friday night, sat at the back door, chilling on my own. I get to have my brew and just watch Beyond the Octagon. So, I don't know. That's my fantasy. That's the thing in my brain. So instead of it being a 5% for me, I like to give it a 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see it play out and I'm like, you fuck it. I can't bet. That's why I can't bet for shit.
I'm not very good at bet. I do. I have a little play. I must admit, because I've got a Bet365 account because I work with those guys. So I have a little play. I have a bit of money in my account, and I just kind of, I only go with ridiculous underdogs that might have a chance.
Yeah.
I am that 5%.
Yeah.
There's a 5% chance that person's going to bing him with a big right hand. Yeah, I'll put 20 pence on that. I'm not a big spender.
I just want to see him clipped. And I don't mean that I want any harm to John Jones.
It sounds like you do.
When GSP got clipped by Sarah, it was like, oi, you've never seen that before. That's chicken legs. When anyone gets clipped and you see that dance, when Paulie fought Diaz, what the fuck? No one knew what was going to happen in that first round. And it was just
It was a bit
forth.
Like that moment where John Jones was fighting Vitor Belfort and he almost got armbarred.
Yeah.
Remember that? And you're like, oh, old man Belfort's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
What about, should we work up the card?
Yeah, let's go.
There's so many good fights on this one.
It's a big card.
I'm not going to go through all of them. Chito Vera's on the card. Frankie Saenz, that's going to be a good fight.
Yes.
Diego Sanchez, Mickey Gall is going to be a mess.
Yes.
28-11 against 5-1.
Are you taking on Diego Sanchez, Mickey Gall?
Well, if Diego Sanchez that beat Craig White shows up, then I've got Diego Sanchez all day. Mickey Gall, he's just young.
Mate, he's been
talented,
proving himself.
Scrappy,
I mean, he came in,
it's a good fight.
He's looked good, but I mean, the main people he's beat, I mean, I know he beat Sage, he lost to Randy Brown, and he beat Sullivan, but Diego Sanchez is just another animal. It is like winding up a Tasmanian devil and dropping him over the cage, and you're like, this shit's real now, bro. Right.
Did you, what do you think to Johnny Walker against Misha Cirkunov?
Can't fucking wait. The thing is, I still want to see them go, oh no, this has happened. You're in the main event. And he goes, all right. And Johnny Walker just rolls up and fucking ices him.
So who pulls out the main event then? And Johnny
it's
got to
be Anthony Smith, unfortunately.
Do you reckon?
But then Johnny Walker just rolls in. That's why he's there, man. That is exactly why he's there. Or John Jones, they go, oh, we found this in your blood. And they're like, what is it? And it's like...
witchcraft.
Nos.
He's got witchcraft.
He's got fucking...
he's got witchcraft in his blood. A picogram of witchcraft.
Yeah, it's not blood anymore.
No.
But I think that's why Johnny Walker's there, to be honest.
That's a great fight. Misha Cirkunov just needs to get his hands on Johnny Walker and not let go for a little while until Walker slows down.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens, because we've not seen that yet, have we? Mm-mm. We've not seen anyone limp at him.
No. Jeremy Stephens against Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
Who are you calling?
I just can't pick against Zabit at the moment.
No.
As good as Jeremy Stephens is, and as tough as he is, and as heavy as his hands are, I feel like there's enough tape on him to know almost exactly what he's going to do. And with Zabit, I don't even think he knows what he's going to do most of the time.
Didn't you have him as your fighter of the year last year?
I did.
Okay, so obviously we can't go against it. Well, you can't go against him for that because it's like he's
well,
playing.
He's lived up to it. So I mean,
he's playing the whole time. He's just deciding. It's almost that thing where someone turns to Joe and says, I'm going to finish him this round.
Yeah.
And he can do that. And the thing is, with someone like Jeremy Stephens, I mean, Jeremy Stephens is a dangerous motherfucker because I know that he lost to Aldo and I know that was a big time loss for him. Mm. But what you got to remember is the fight before that, he finished, was it Emmett?
Yes, he did.
Josh Emmett.
Emmett was on a streak. He was on his way to a title shot.
Three times the size of anyone.
Yeah, yeah. You see that video of Emmett doing sit-ups in a pool?
Ridiculous.
Like he was waterboarding himself.
Dude. But this is it. And Stevens finished him. So I think if he can get close enough, I'm not saying punch his chance because Jeremy Stephens he's not an amateur, just wild swinger. But I think he's got heavy enough hands that if he does catch him.
Oh, yeah.
But what I think's going to happen, he's going to keep swinging and missing and get really fucked off and probably get caught with something because he's going to get frustrated because instead of him standing still just for long enough for him to crack him, he's going to keep missing.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Garbrandt opening the main card against Pedro Munhoz.
I want to see Garbrandt come back.
Wicked guillotine.
Yeah.
I think he should go shots to the body, slow Garbrandt down, then when Garbrandt starts to level change or like cover up his body, he just snaps his head down and attacks the neck.
Team Alpha Male, man. Catch Team Alpha Male in a guillotine.
That's exactly the thing. That's their thing, isn't it? I mean, Garbrandt's defending guillotines all day, every day. That's from it. Faber and who else is there now? I mean, they've lost a few guys, haven't they?
Faber likes to put his guillotine on at least one person a day.
One person a day.
As they're leaving, they don't have like a high five or anything. Just,
you know what they say?
Yeah.
A guillotine a day.
Come here, let me choke you. I don't know.
It's a fun fight, that is. I like Pedro Munhoz. I don't know what his striking's going to do in comparison to Garbrandt, because I do feel like Garbrandt's got good footwork, good boxing, and he's got a good understanding of where to put his feet in order to generate power. The only thing that we've seen is that he can be binged and
yeah,
hurt.
But I think the problem is that I've got with that is that his absolute raw emotion that he had against TJ just did not help anyone at any time. Like if you'd have watched the entire rise of Garbrandt without the TJ thing, you'd have seen him as a completely different person. Whereas the problem is they give him a bit of airtime and you get to see what he's actually like when he's like up against TJ. And I'm not saying he's a bad person because I don't personally know him, but he didn't come off super well on Ultimate Fighter.
With the boys.
Yeah, he didn't come off well after his losses and stuff. It wasn't like that. The bitterness that obviously Faber and Bang have got is between them, but obviously Garbrandt took it on himself and he's one of the boys, and I get all that, but he just... The Garbrandt that rose up the ranks and justified the shot was fucking outstanding.
Mm.
Took on Cruz, looked incredible.
That was the most impressive when he beat Cruz.
Well, mate, if the next fight after him beating Cruz was now, that would be co-main, without a doubt. And I know he's opening the card, but I just want to see him back to that stand. I don't need to see behind the scenes with him anymore or live the life with Garbrandt. I just want to see him back to that focus.
At his best.
Man, yeah. Well, you look at when he beat... what's his name? Brazilian kid.
Almeida. Thomas Almeida. One of my picks as well for a star to watch. Wow. I still think he is.
He is.
I mean,
he's outstanding.
Do you remember when Pickett fought him? Pickett caught him clean and hurt him.
Yeah,
and then he
caught a massive knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upset of the night, I'm calling Zhang Weili to beat Tisha Torres.
Oh, really?
She's 18-1 and she's just looked very good so far. I called her last fight. I believe it was Beijing.
Just say her name again.
Zhang Weili.
Lovely.
Yeah, she beat Jessica Aguilar. First round armbar. I think she's spending some time training in the US now as well. I think she's spending some time at either American Top Team or Greg Jackson or Team Alpha Male. One of those gyms. She's been spending time. I think there's going to be an upset there. She's 18-1. Tisha Torres is good. She's ranked well up there.
What's the reach? Because Tisha Torres always seems to struggle because she's built like Sean Sherk.
Yeah, she is.
A little bit T-Rexy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she is. She's short and strong, well built, but
she's fucking super strong. I mean, didn't she go three with Joanna?
Yeah, she did. What about Robbie Lawler against Askren? I think
this
Askren
is head and heart
maul.
Again.
I know.
Man.
I think Askren's going to maul him.
I want to see Robbie Lawler come out like he did against Tiki Gosen. Can you remember?
Yeah.
And he fucking,
that was like
when
40
he broke
years
the
ago,
cage.
Right? That was like UFC.
Yeah, and I know his tattoo's not been any more finished
since
then.
It's not at all finished.
But it's one
That's
of
a story. There we go. There we go.
We need to follow Robbie.
That we're going to do. We need to go over and speak to Robbie Lawler about his tattoos. Maybe we can get Cammy to come over with us and fill it in for him.
It's only a Chinese symbol.
Brutal black Robbie Lawler. Like,
25 minutes, man. You can do it while you're fishing with your son. Perfect. Because he's had more tattoos. It's not like he doesn't want tattoos. He had the belt. Didn't he have the belt put on his gladiator?
I think so.
Because I always thought Robbie Lawler was the guy at the beginning of the, you know, the...
Where he's strapping on his armour before he goes out to the Coliseum.
Yeah.
It should have been Robbie Lawler. He's probably the best person for it.
But I think Ben Askren, head and heart again. I think, obviously, head just tells me Ben Askren gets hold of someone, mauls them. It's a bit like Conor and Khabib.
Yeah.
You know what was going to happen. Uh-huh. You fucking knew what was going to happen, but you were just led away by this fantasy.
It's the what if, isn't it? It's the what if. There's always a what if. What if Robbie Lawler lands that shovel punch? He's southpaw, isn't he? Lands that shovel punch as Askren level changes. Mate. And does what Ngannou did to Kane. There's a possibility, but I just think Askren's...
It was,
and he's coming in with so much hype. If he came into the UFC now, made his debut and lost...
I kind of want to see that. I love Robbie. He's one of my favourites. And I mean, when he came back, when he fought Melvin Manoff, you remember?
Oh, yeah, what
when
a punch.
When he literally...
Closed eyes.
Yeah, the Mickey punch from Snatch, where he just knocked him into the water and it was like...
yeah. Golden Brown starts playing by the Stranglers in the background.
But this is it. And the thing is, I just think, I don't know, I think Robbie's got it in him. I mean, the whole Tyron Woodley knockout was...
Are we split on that? Are you going hard? I'll go ahead and you
I
go
I
want to
go Robbie, man. I can't go against Robbie. I've got nothing against Ben Askren. He's coming across as quite a funny guy now he's got a platform. Funny.
Did you see the USC website trolling him the other week?
Yeah, when he didn't have a picture. He just put the frisier in.
Brilliant.
I don't think he's got anything to lose.
No. He's got his O to lose, hasn't he? I mean, he's undefeated.
Someone's always got to go.
Yeah. Well, Robbie Lawler, unless it's a draw, Robbie Lawler's only got an O in the draw category.
Well, there you go.
I just feel like it might be a... I can see Robbie Lawler sitting on his ass up against the fence as the seconds tick down in the third round, looking up at the clock and shaking
just
his head.
Frustrated.
Who was that he was fighting? Somebody beat him by decision and he just got mauled, didn't he? But then
he fights someone like Hendricks and just turns it on and just fucking murders him.
What about
Rafael Dos Anjos? It was Dos Anjos, RDA, that beat Lawler.
See, if Dos Anjos can take him down and maul him, and Dos Anjos is
it's
really
a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't even need MMA math that doesn't work. Uh-uh. It's just an obvious thing. But I just want to see, obviously, always standing up. I just want to see one of them big punches land.
Mm.
But you never know, man. I just don't want it to be fucking boring because this is one of them cards that is stacked and fucking awesome. And then you tell someone, you've got to watch this. And then they get to it and they're like, there's a lot of cuddling. You know, fuck off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So talking about cuddling, who wins the co-main event? Tyron Woodley, Kamaru Usman.
Who cares? Is that bad?
I care. I care.
You love Tyron. He's your boy.
I just, you know, if the Tyron Woodley that fought Darren Till shows up, I'll watch that fight every day of the week.
Yes, because
it doesn't matter who it is. No. When they perform like that, I'm all over that kind of performance. Mate. I just don't want to see him play King of the Hill. And I kind of feel like this might be one of those stand with his back foot against the fence and defend takedowns like he did against Maya.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing that when Usman saw him backstage, did you see that bit of a video when Usman's, he's giving himself a little bit of Charlie Big Potatoes. He's walking around with that Billy strut, isn't he? Giving it some.
Charlie Big Potatoes.
Yeah, you know, oversized knocks. I think it's like he's got that little bit of limelight and he's really going for it.
Yeah.
Because he's been crying out for a shot for a while. And to be fair, he's good.
Yeah, he is.
No one's saying he's not good. But it's not Robbie Lawler good or Cowboy good that's exciting, that's interesting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because once, didn't he fight in London? And it was a decision. And he was like, I didn't want to have to put any more effort in.
I don't think it was in London. But he did say, like, something about... That
if I'd tried harder, I'd have fucking won.
That was only 70%, I think he said.
Well, this like, is the night you work, dickhead. Yeah, play the game.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So what do we do? Give 30% refunds on the tickets?
Exactly. So, I don't know. I think Tyron, hopefully, pressured.
Yeah. I think they're both their own worst enemy, to be honest, when they're talking to the media. Sometimes they really... I think Kamaru Usman's coming off a lot better in the build-up to this one.
Maybe they
I've not
stand
really
up.
Heard much from Woodley, to be honest. Maybe Tyron Woodley just stuffs all of his takedowns and forces him to kickbox, and then it's just the... Go on.
Did you see Woodley's rap video?
No.
And if you are going to put that video of me or any audio of me singing, it's as good as. And it's shit. Mine's shit. He does a rap video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so awkward. No. Almost Luke Rockhold, Nate Diaz awkward. Do you know what I mean?
Not what I do with my hands.
Oh, did you got any gang signs? No, mate.
No gang signs.
And I had to order green tea in sign language. Fucking looks like it. Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell. Yeah. Avocado toast. But yeah, I don't know. I think hopefully it'll stand them both up. Tyrone against Usman, I think it'll just stand them both up. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I'm just fucking justifying shit to myself again because I want to see someone get knocked out.
Main event then.
Come on, Smith.
Come on, Smith. Come on, come on, the Lionheart.
Come on, Lionheart. Yeah. You've got fuck all to lose, brother. You've gone up there. You're 31 and 13.
I know, right?
What the fuck? Like, this could be a massive upset. Yeah.
What's 31 and 14? Just go at him. Just
who fucking cares?
Just attack him.
Mate, it's one of them where I don't know. I almost want to see someone work out a way to cover the distance of the cage as soon as it starts. You know when John always is on his all fours?
Yeah.
I just want someone to make the most of that.
Sprint. Like Emil Mech did.
Yeah.
In, where was that? Was that? I don't remember where that was. Emil Mech just sprinted across the octagon.
Yeah.
And just leapt at his...
Just like M. Bison, you know, on Street Fighter, where it's like, pull back and just let the fucker go. And he's just flying across the cage like, oi, easy. I want to see someone like... benefit from him doing that and them just catching him.
I mean, I want to see how they look in each other's company this week, how their face off is, what the energy that Anthony Smith's putting out. Is he looking at John Jones like, oh shit, that's John Jones?
Yeah, I think.
Or is he looking at him like another meal, like he did with the other guys that he fought?
I'd hope so. Yeah, but the thing is, there is a certain aura of John Jones.
Mm.
There is a certain thing about
look at his record. He's 23-1, but that one is
Matt Hamill
disqualification. He should be 23-0.
Yeah,
and you go down 24. His record, and well,
he should have beat him, shouldn't he?
Yeah,
without pulling out. Yeah, he should.
That's a rule that we need to take out, the downward elbows. Mark Goddard agrees as well. We said that on the last listen.
Well, it's Joe's description of it when he was saying, wasn't it because someone was watching midnight shows on?
It was something about breaking
bricks
of ice
with your elbow.
Or something.
Yeah, fucking stupid.
I don't know.
But I mean, I don't know. Part of me, I just want to see. I mean, the last couple of main events have been quick, and I'm buzzing to watch something a bit
longer.
What's
the worst case scenario though? That Anthony Smith goes out and gets stopped in the first round, and then he's back in the mix at light heavyweight, and we get to see him fight maybe the winner of the Serkanov.
Exactly.
Johnny Walker fight, or maybe Thiago Santos, or Jan Błachowicz would be a fun fight to watch between.
But I just
two.
Like to see that upset. I like to see that upset in the water. That then it's like, what the fuck happens now? Because no one thought Weidman was going to beat Anderson.
No, of course.
No one. That was never going to happen.
It's just difficult to expect anything other than John Jones to be cruising to a victory in this one. And I think that's why people are.
Yeah.
You know, people are a bit. Well. That's the problem with John Jones. He's Demetrius Johnson, the division. He's not even been around for very long. It's John Jones is back. That's it. You know, hand him the belt.
But we've not seen him tested. I've not seen him get clipped. I would just want to see, even if he wins, I don't care. I just want to see him face a little bit of adversity.
Yeah. But, you know, in the Gustafsson fight, the first Gustafsson fight, start the podcast again.
We'll scrap. 59:50.
We've only lost an hour. We're fine.
We're good.
But
even against Gus, he didn't get dropped to one knee. He didn't get rattled. He got punched.
Yeah, his face got bloodied up and that.
But not what Smith has done. And I know John Jones has faced it. Like DC turned Stipe off with one punch.
Yes.
So he's faced the power.
But
he's not been clipped.
Well, that's the thing. He has faced powerful punches before. Okay. Any more thoughts before we old school fighting games? What do you and Monkey Chops think is the best street fighter, Tekken or Mortal Kombat? Mortal Kombat
street
for
fighter.
Me all day.
Sorry.
Mortal Kombat for me.
I'll play you for it.
Yeah. Okay. All good.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts?
You've
normally got a question or two.
I have. But I've got something that I needed to talk to you about, but I couldn't segue it into any of the random cod shit we've said.
Oh, okay. So this is bonus material.
This is something that I remembered when we were having a coffee earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was about, I took Ben for a walk not long ago, and we were talking about being caught short. You know, when you're busting, when you're on a walk with
caught
a dog.
Caught short.
It was very early in the morning, mm-hmm. and it was a bit a while ago when the kids were in a pushchair, and I basically went out because Stace was.
This is another poo story, isn't it?
It is.
This is like a signature of the podcast.
I don't mean it to be.
You do.
It's just I wanted to
you
tell you when
we
were making coffee.
Every time.
Dude, the thing is.
This coffee tastes like shit. It is shit, Austin. Oh.
nutty.
So, with this nutty coffee, I took the kids to the park and we were walking along this little trail and Ben wouldn't come back. I kept shouting him and shouting and shouting, he wouldn't come back. And basically, I looked through the woods and all I could see was like in a McDonald's M upside down. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Started walking towards it and a little turtle's head popped out and it was a woman, she must have been about 50, got caught short on her walk with my dog about 3 feet away from her, sniffing her as hard. And I'm like, and the thing is, I didn't want to embarrass her by letting her know that I was there. But what do you do? And she's like, she's obviously...
Can you return my dog when you've done with having that shit?
Do you need any tissue after you've pinched a loaf?
Please don't wipe yourself on my dog.
Literally. And so I was like, gross. Oh, fuck.
I knew it was another shit story.
Yeah, it just came up when we were talking about it in there. It wasn't on purpose, but clearly it was a shit story. Oh, the other thing I was going to talk to you about, GSP.
What about him? I'm glad he's retired. I can come out of retirement now. I've been waiting for 6 years, George. I mean,
we did have a discussion
about this. So I'm not coming out of retirement. I'm glad he's retired on his terms. I think he could still be tempted to come back for the right money against Khabib. But that's just my speculation.
What was your favourite George fight, other than your own?
Mine. Absolutely mine. I was very impressed when he fought John Fitch and Thiago Alves. They were my two favourites.
Yes.
The second fight against Matt Hughes was also very impressive.
I think that's what blew me away more than anything was the Matt Serra second fight was fucking naughty.
Exactly what you expected.
It was filth.
Yeah.
Because it was
Those knees to the body on the ground.
And Matt Serra's tough as fuck.
He is.
And he literally just had him on the floor and was... I'm surprised that many knees got through. But, yeah, I mean, I just always expected him to win. And he always did. He always delivered.
Yeah.
Even again,
it was hard to not expect him to win. I was fighting him, to be honest.
No,
it's like, it's George, of course he's going to win.
Yeah, of course he's going to win
shit,
somehow.
I'm fighting him.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to win here.
Mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, fair play to him, man.
Yeah, right.
An amazing career. But be interesting to see what he does next.
He's going to dig up dinosaurs, I think.
With aliens?
No, he's going to stay as far away from aliens. He loves dinosaurs and doesn't like aliens.
As in, doesn't like aliens because of his experience with aliens, or he doesn't...
I don't know.
Like,
has he had experience with aliens?
I don't know. He got into... He was talking...
Maybe that's why he's got his superhuman powers from. Maybe he was abducted when he was a child and...
Man, it was his Superman
with
punch.
Martial arts. Maybe they downloaded the whole martial arts database. Maybe they...
Like the Matrix. They just installed an amazing Superman punch.
Exactly. Maybe they time traveled with him.
Dude, just look at his fucking record.
I know. A couple of names I recognize on there.
Man.
Look at them all.
Ridiculous.
All numbered UFCs as well. That's when you know you're big time, when you don't fight on a fight night.
Yeah. His house, he must have one room full of posters just of his events.
The belt room. He keeps Demetrius Johnson in there as well with all his belts.
Are you surprised he didn't want one of the new belts, the Power Rangers belt?
I would be tempted to come back for one if I was George.
Well, let's see.
Just come back and collect one. I'd probably drop into the WBC and grab one of those belts as well. Yeah, even with a takedown.
Definitely.
You know, just throw them
in there. $1 million man belt.
Yeah, collect all the...
Johnny G's bow tie belt.
There you go. There was a photograph I saw, and I think it was... Bernard Hopkins, if I remember correctly. And it was just a beautiful photo of him standing. He had all of his belts on the ropes of the ring.
Dude.
It's just like, yep, owned it.
Completed it, mate.
Boxing, I won.
Yeah,
Roy Jones, it might have been Roy Jones. That's probably more likely. Anyway, all good?
I can't think of anything else, dude.
I think we're good, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've got a busy weekend.
Who are you taking, John Jones or Smith? Or are you not picking?
Logic says John Jones. Okay. Obviously, I would like to see Anthony Smith win. And not that I have anything against John Jones. I just like an upset, like you said. Yeah. I always pull for the underdog because I often was the underdog. So I liked that position. And it makes me excited to think that there's a small possibility
Definitely.
That someone can change their life.
Yeah.
I think Logic says that Jones wins. And I think Logic says that Tyron Woodley shuts down Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, and Robbie Lawler gets mauled.
Exactly. Robbie mauled. Yeah, Robbie's gonna. Yeah, they're my picks. But
let's hope
I don't know
we're
anything.
Fucking wrong as fuck.
fucking wrong as my parents.
Don't let
to
your
podcast.
Mom listen to that.
She
piece.
Does.
At the minute I said it, I was
I
like,
found out last
I'm
week.
Sorry, Elaine.
I found out last week. She was like, "Oh, we listened to the podcast with Owen." I was like, "Oh shit."
She's what literally gonna bring like what carbolic soap.
Well, this one, at some point, I've told these boys, because we've been recording this since 10 minutes before we started videoing, so we've got you singing, I'm a motherfucker, you're a mother. We should fuck each other's mothers,
fuck each other's moms. I'm pushing up my way where you came out as a baby, ain't no shit to start, this shit is crazy. Yeah, probably not good.
I don't know. They'll call you up. You'll be on the next album.
Yeah, just, well, no, it's more I've got to apologise to your mum before.
We can blind spot this one, can't we? We can block her on YouTube so she can't see it.
Dude.
Can we do that?
Yeah, thank fuck. We'll sorry, Elaine.
We'll summarise. We'll give you an edited version, mum. There we go.
What's going to happen?
We'll bleep out all the...
Lots of deaf stuff.
If we took out everything that she couldn't listen to, or we would rather or not, you've got like a 12-minute podcast.
No sense.
You've got a 12-minute podcast, which is just all and...
You going, and, hi guys, what hey, is it? What numbers?
Thanks for joining us.
That's like the first one he did. Yep. What was I saying? One of them. Coming in like that.
You dropped your sausage.
Covered in shit. And I couldn't say shit. Covered in... Do you know what I mean?
I can't. You look like Crichton off Red Dwarf when you were doing the beep. That seems like a good place to leave it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Thanks for joining us, Full Reptile Radio. Use the hashtag, please. Thank you. See you next time. How do I stop this?